Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hi, folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 92 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on December 14th, 2015. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Peter Mandel.
How are you, sir?
I'm having a magical day.
Oh, nice. I like hearing that.
Yeah. What about you? Any magic going on? No, right? No? All right.
Long days right now when you own a retail facility.
You can't just, for the sake of the show, just be like totally magical, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's awesome, Kevin. Totally magical.
Wow. You couldn't even muster. Okay, folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete.
Kevin.
Dry throat. Sorry, messing up my intro. It happens.
Ah,
yeah.
We forgive you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So what's going on? You gearing up for Christmas?
Yeah. I got to tell you, it's funny because as the intro went, I am actually very excited to do this episode today.
Yeah, because it is our Star Wars month here on WDPN. Dagobah Sember. No, I'm kidding. It's not that.
Yeah, you didn't come up with anything else?
No, I tried to get Dagobah Sember out. Like, I tried it on Watchtower this last week, and like, because we did the Expanded Universe, like Heroes of the Expanded Universe, the first week of December, and then this last week we reviewed Empire, and like, right. I was just like, you know, here on our month, you know, Dagobah Sember, and so furthermore with Empire, like I tried to just kind of like sneak it in and like move it on, but they were like, whoa, who came up with that? And I was like, darn it. So,
yeah, no one's having it.
You know, like Nostalgia Critic does this has done this thing in the past called Disney Sember,
right?
Which is wonderful. Have you ever watched that?
No.
He's done it a couple years in a row. Like he, the first year, literally like every day in December, he reviewed like a different Disney animated film, and he runs the full gauntlet of Disney animated films from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, like to Frozen, or I think Tangled is where he ends, because Frozen wasn't out yet.
Okay.
Then, like, the next year he did all the Pixar movies. After that, he did, like, live-action films. So, it's actually really good. Like, someone has them all, like, compiled. It's, like, 3 hours long. But, yeah.
All right.
Moving along.
Yep.
All right, folks, a couple mousekeeping items before we get into the show proper this week. If you are an Amazon shopper who's looking to do any of your Amazon shopping for the holidays, we invite you to first go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, click the Amazon link at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. Only the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage back of what you purchase. Also, folks, if you want to help the network out in a more direct manner, you can always go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/sponsor to make a monetary donation, no matter how small. It is always, always appreciated. And I just wanted to take a second to thank Stacey Gregory for her generous donation to the network. So appreciated, oh, nice. And we love her very much. She's the queen of the snack gauntlet. She housed it in like a couple days, and she holds everybody, including myself, accountable to the fact that like I posted like a picture of a Dole Whip, of like the Dole Whip stand, but didn't actually post the picture of me eating it, and she called me out on it. So
it's no good.
No, it's always good to have a sheriff. Okay, so the. Folks, people ask me all the time where we get all of our listener feedback from. You can always go to our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/groups/twomeninthemouse and join in the Disney discussion, because we are always talking on there with the listeners. And by we, I mean me. also, please, folks, follow along on Periscope. You can catch our Periscope over at White Dragon Podcast Network. So I Periscope from the parks all the time, and then hopefully coming up soon, we'll be able to do a actual Two Men and the Mouse Periscope.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, like actually Periscope with you there. That'd be something. Something else. Okay, and folks, as always, the news this week compiled by Orlando from Orlando Passholder, ORLPassholder.com, for all your Walt Disney World and Universal Studios Florida news. And also, we have new T-shirts on sale over at, we have our Dole Whip shirt, which is very popular, over at www.teespring.com/2menwhip. And then we just debuted the new one. Did you see I sent you the new one the other day?
I did. Very cool.
Yeah. So, folks, we have a Sunny Eclipse shirt now. It's like an album cover designed by the incredibly talented Mikey Wisenhunt. You can find that at teespring.com/2meneclipse. You know, you'd assume that that would sell really, really well, right, Pete?
I would think so.
You'd be wrong. Absolutely, 100% wrong. All right, so ready to jump into the news, sponsored by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel for all your Disney planning needs. Dave Weikert will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. All right, so let's start out with some worldwide news, because the worldwide news this week is something we never get to talk about.
Okay, what's that?
There has been a price reduction on something at Walt Disney World.
Okay.
It's so weird when something goes down in price, because we're so used to everything going up in price.
Right, right.
Like ad nauseum. Memory Maker has been reduced. So the Memory Maker,
really?
The Memory Maker that you can buy like immediately, like I bought this today and I'm going to start using it today. You can purchase that. It used to be $199. Now they've lowered it to $169. So a nice little $30 drop in price there for you.
You know, I actually got an email from them this week because, you know, I've already pre-purchased my Memory Maker.
Yes. So what I was going to ask you, what happens with this? I heard they just give you like $20 off for like PhotoPass, right?
Oh, no, that'd be awesome. No, they give you $20 off of any of their like things, but not Memory Maker or Memory Maker pre-order.
So what, you have like a $20 gift card to use?
Pretty much. Oh, and you got to use it like virtually immediately.
But the price differential is $30.
It's $20. That's what I got.
Okay.
I can't say I'm happy about that, but it's all right. I'll be all right.
Also, for the advance one, which you have to purchase at least 3 days before you use it, it was $169. They have lowered that to $149. So this is actually a return to the original Memory Maker pricing when it first debuted, before the prices went up earlier in the year. Magic Kingdom news. Ready for this?
Yep.
Did they lower the price of
Magic Kingdom tickets also?
What was that?
Did they lower the price of Magic Kingdom entrance also?
Oh, heavens no. No. The meet and greet locations for certain characters have changed.
Okay, tell me.
Well, more like reverted than changed. I think with like the hub expansion and whatnot being done, and the castle expansion being kind of done, Tiana is back at the Glade behind Ye Olde Christmas Shop.
Okay.
Yeah, she wasn't there for a while. The Tremaines, Lady Tremaine, Anastasia, and Drizella, were formerly, you know, like that wall area before you get into like New Fantasyland that like is themed to Cinderella Castle?
Yeah, the wall.
That's where they were. That's where like Kermit the Frog met them alongside me. And it went extremely well. Did I never show you that?
No.
Oh, I got to send that to you. Remind me. They are now in the mornings. You can find them on the west side of the castle over by Cinderella's Fountain. And in the afternoons, they move to the east side over by Sir Mickey's. So they're in like the back of the castle.
Okay.
Which makes sense. Like they're outside, like looking up at it like, oh, because, you know, it's not theirs.
Right.
All right, it's that kind of show. there are only two dates left with tickets for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party available. Everything else has been sold out now.
Now, you have officially decided you're not doing this,
I've officially opted out. Yeah, not doing it. And I will get into why I'm not doing it in the next news item. So,
okay.
December 15th and 17th are still available. Tickets are on sale, so you can get those, because if it's any indication, they probably will go fast. So, the holiday entertainment lineup has been announced for Magic Kingdom.
Are you doing any of them?
Well, yeah, I think I'm going to do it, because starting on December 19th, they're doing Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Parade, Celebrate the Season Show, the Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, and Holiday Wishes minus the perimeter fireworks. This goes from the 19th to the 31st.
Okay.
So, pretty much everything you can accomplish at Very Merry is going to be going on during regular park hours starting on the 19th.
Okay.
So, as a listen, if you're coming for a week in the beginning of December, obviously do Very Merry. But for me, living down here, I'd rather save $70 and just experience them on the 19th.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't seem worth it. You know, not for you.
Well, no, not, and yeah, my situation is different than most other people. For a lot of other people, I could definitely see going and doing it. So then from December 30th and 31st, you will get the Fantasy in the Sky New Year's Eve fireworks, which happen along with the holiday wishes. And the Frozen holiday wish will continue until January 2nd.
Okay.
So there you go.
Sounds pretty good.
I mean, somebody told me also that it's still good, like Christmas week, it still snows on Main Street. And
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and like starting on the 19th. And somebody also said that you still get the hot chocolate, but I have not seen that confirmed in a news article, but I do believe it because I believe that person.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't answer that one.
Mm. So, okay, so the Jungle Cruise, the Skipper Canteen has opened. Well, soft open. It's not officially open yet. So
now, did you go to this?
I did. I went yesterday for day one.
Okay, so this is a big reveal here. How was
yes.
it?
No, it was a big reveal. I went over there and I had like a late lunch / early dinner, sponsored by thecookinwookie.com, which is okay. a food blog. THECOOKIN Wookie.com. WOOKIE. So yesterday I got these alerts. From people, like people were messaging me, like, "Oh, Skipper Canteen, it's open, day one, and they're just taking walk-ins." So I got there. So now I'm expecting to get there, and there'd just be a sea of humanity in Adventureland trying to get into this restaurant.
Right.
There was not. I mean, like, there was not even a line at the touch points. Like,
well, but it's also, you know, kind of like a new thing that probably everyone didn't know about.
No, and that is why I think it's brilliant of them to not announce it beforehand and just be like on the day of, like as people are walking by, like because the only way I found out was because when people got to Magic Kingdom that day, there were skippers standing outside being like, "Hey, do you want to eat here today?" Which I think is the perfect way of doing it.
Right. So yeah, like, you have to. You got to draw people in there.
Yeah. So like but there was very few people at Magic Kingdom. I think it's because it was closing early due to Very Merry.
Okay.
So the park closes at like 7. However, as I drove in, I did notice a sign, like a neon, like a electronic sign on the Disney Highway that said that the Hollywood Studios parking lot was full. And if you wanted to go to Hollywood Studios, you had to park at Epcot.
Wow, and walk or take the boat?
Take the bus. They had buses running.
Oh, okay.
But isn't that like insanity? Like just to think of like how large those parking lots are. And I heard they filled up as of 10:30 in the morning.
That's insane.
So what is that? That's Launch Bay. That's just because it's Star Wars week and the hysteria is going on. People want to go there and ride Star Tours, I think. And I think it's also the last. I want to say it's also because of Osborne lights. But at the same time, it filled up at 10:30 in the morning and the Osborne lights don't start until the sun goes down.
Okay.
You know? Man, those Osborne lights were something else, though.
Yeah. Is this the first time you've ever seen it?
Yeah. And the last.
Yeah. But that's good, though. At least you got to see it.
Yeah. Little segue, by the way. I did a Jungle Cruise the other day, a nighttime Jungle Cruise. My aunt and uncle were with me. So now Jungle Cruise at night is my favorite anyway. Now to add right. the add Jungle Cruise to it, which I absolutely adore. Like I can hear them talk about the piranhas celebrating Piranica, the Festival of Bites, anytime.
Right.
And I will find it funny, and I will laugh out loud. But we got to the backside of water, and so now it's dark. Like, you've been on Jungle Cruise at night, right?
Of course.
So it's dark, and you have only the light on the boat to light the area around you. So our skipper goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, the 8th, 9th wonder of the world, the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Waterfalls." And he starts turning the lights on and off on the boat. To make it like the water was like dancing like the lights. And then he goes, "Ah, they get better every year, don't they? Can't wait for next year." Oh, wait.
That's so funny.
And it was like a boat full of Disney people. Like, you could tell like there are people that like were in the know. And dude, the whole boat was just dying laughing.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
It was really, really funny. And I don't know if that was like an approved Disney joke or if this one skipper just like made it up. But I sometimes wonder about the Jungle Cruise and Jingle Cruise, because I got to figure that it's kind of like Star Tours. Like, for each thing, there's like five different jokes you could pick from or something like that. And you just have to like create your own script. Right? Like, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the Osborne family spectacle of dancing waterfalls was amazing.
Oh, that's very funny.
So, moving along. So I got there, and I was like, do you guys have anything for one? Like, oh, yeah, of course. It's just it's an 80-minute wait. And I'm like, done. Okay. So now I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, do I have to wait here for 80 minutes? No. They have a thing now where you can go enjoy the parks, and they will send you a text message when your table is ready.
That seems like, you know, we should have had that technology long time ago.
I thought it was really super cool, but I was just like, I feel like we should have had this already. Like, this should have been in place. And why don't, like, normal restaurants do this outside of Disney? But, yeah, so, like, that was pretty cool. I went and I rode the TTA, you know, just walked around for, like, about an hour, went and, you know, just tooled around Magic Kingdom for a while.
When you're on the TTA, are you ever like, hey, can I just stay on this?
You know what? Not lately, because lately there's always a line for it.
Really?
I mean, not a long line, but like you're waiting before that conveyor belt. Which, by the way, I'd like to add that most of the times that I go, I would say at least 65% of the time, maybe that's a little too harsh, maybe like 45% of the time, that up people mover,
right,
is not working.
What do you mean? They have to, like, walk it?
You walk it.
Oh.
You walk up that incline. Not loving that, right?
It takes some of the magic away.
Yeah, right? The one that goes down is never, though, because, like, could you imagine having to walk down that? That's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, I mean, you could do it.
No, but I feel like people would fall, like, pitch forward and fall.
Right. I get that.
So, anyway, I get off of the TTA. I take a look at my phone. My table's ready. I go back. Give them my name. They have outside, like right where you check in, it's like a big circular area that's still outside. And they have like these awesome like wicker chairs.
Okay.
With like nice pillows and stuff. So I sat on that for a little while. And then there's also a place inside to sit as well, but I chose the one outside. So I walked around, took some pictures, sat down. And then your skipper, one of the skippers comes and gets you. So now the entire staff are all dressed as skip, like the same costume as the Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
So they come and they get you. And, you know, oh, you know, welcome, you know, they bring you in. As we're walking through the mess hall toward the table, the host is explaining things to me. And things like, I'd like to point out the chandeliers in the room here. I really like to say that they're the highlight of the journey.
Ba-dum-dum.
Like, they're making Jungle Cruise-style jokes as they're walking you to your table. And
right.
It's hysterical. Like, there's in the top corner, there's like an elephant statue, like kind of huddled away, and he's just like, "All right, so before we get anything started, I just want to point out the elephant in the room right away. He's up there."
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Like, yeah, he had so many really good jokes that, like, I wished I wasn't alone because there was like no one to laugh. I felt like the ostrich on Family Guy, just like, "Ha-ha!" Like by myself. But it was okay. I was there for work. So they sat me in the mess hall, but I did eventually get to walk around the entirety of it. So I went into, like, the Adventurers Club room, which you have to go through the bookcase to get into. And then I walked into, like, the Schweitzer family room. Both,
right.
I liked those rooms much more than I liked the mess hall.
Okay.
I mean, just like the same way, like, I love the West Wing at Be Our Guest more than I like the ballroom.
Yeah, of course. The West Wing's the one.
Yeah, it's the one. But anyway, but I didn't want to be like, oh, can I sit in the Adventurers Club? Like, I didn't want to be that guy.
I've been that guy.
I know, but you have kids. It's different. Like, it's different when, you know, when you're a 30-year-old man who's there by himself. It's hard to be like, can I sit in the Adventurers Club room? Like, no. So my skipper waitress comes to the table, and she does a whole menu presentation complete with Jungle Cruise style jokes.
Okay.
Like, presents the whole menu. You know, I also love they call tap water river water. The entire time they are playing the same kind of music that you hear in the Jungle Cruise queue, like that 1930s music.
Okay.
That's all playing all throughout, which is awesome. Just makes you feel like you're in the Jungle Cruise more. It just really feels like it kind of works in tandem with the ride. Like, go on the ride and then go here, like, or vice versa, go here and then go on the ride.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, one complete experience.
I don't think of, like, the Jungle Cruise as, like, you know, the greatest ride, like, in Disney World. But you'd have to think, like, theming and the things that Disney really excels at in a restaurant experience. It's perfect. It lends itself to it beautifully.
You know what? At the end of the day, I can't think of any other attraction that I would want to see a restaurant based off of except for, like, Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I was just going to say, give me Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. So I ordered the... So I looked at the menu. I posted pictures of the menu over on our Facebook discussion group. They've got, you know, typical Asian fare. They've got... they have the specialty beverages, like the mango beverage and, like, the little apple beverage that come in the souvenir cups. I'm glad I didn't get them, though.
What? You didn't get it?
No. You know what? Like, I was like, I don't feel like spending $10 on a cup today, and I'm glad I didn't. Because they're not. It's not like a big souvenir cup. It's this little tiny thing. It's, like, probably the size of a Coke can.
Well, maybe, but it would be different in your collection.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't wild about them either. Yeah, they say Skipper Canteen on it, but it looks like... Now, you might not get this, but there were... It looks like when you go to, like, the county fair and you, like, you go to, like, the root beer cart and they give you the little tin cup that you can keep filling up the entire day. You don't go to the county fair. I know you don't get this, but there, I guarantee you right now, there are people that are like, ah, yes, yes, I'm aware of this.
Okay.
Wild Bills, I think they call it, or something like that. I don't even know. But they're everywhere. So yeah, I wasn't crazy about it. So they bring out this bread. I forget what she called it. It's like Andavi bread or something like that. But it was like a sticky bread that you can, like, break apart and share, and just kind of, like, and it comes with, like, this honey dipping sauce. So I'm like, oh, awesome, bread. So, like, I break off a piece, I dip it in the honey dipping sauce, I put it in my mouth, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is awful. This is, like, the most awful bread I've ever tasted.
Why was it bad? How can bread be bad?
But, you know, like, at first I was just like, oh, I don't really like that. And then I swallowed it and waited, like, 5 seconds, and I got this ridiculous aftertaste that I just did not like. Actually, I had a water, and I had to order a soda just to get the taste out of my mouth.
Really?
Yeah. So
that sounds really bad.
You know what? It might just be... I have a different palate than most. So, I mean, I can see... The table next to me ate the whole thing. So...
Okay.
And I have a feeling it might have been the dipping stuff more so than the bread itself. So, I don't know. I'd have to try... Well, I mean, I'm never trying it again. But, like, I would have to try it again in order to know.
I really like bread, so that's why I was just curious.
Exactly. I know you do. So, for my entree, I ordered... it's called Skip's Mac and Cheese.
Okay.
So they sold me on it because it's like, hey, you know, it's macaroni and, like, a creamy cheese sauce with cheese melted on the top. And it's interspersed with, like, ground beef that's, like, seasoned and spicy. I was like, oh, okay, right on. You know, that sounds like something I would enjoy because, you know, me being the mac and cheese connoisseur that I am.
Right, right.
They bring it, and I'm glad I'm telling you this because I feel like you would have gone there and Abigail would have seen mac and cheese and she would have ordered it. This is not mac and cheese.
What is it?
It's like an Egyptian dish, which, I mean, they're very clear that it's an Egyptian dish, but it tasted like my grandma's old, like, macaroni chili that she used to make. It's like the elbow noodles, like, mixed in with, like, sloppy Joe chili.
Now, do you mean old as in old recipe or old as in, like, after it sat in your grandma's fridge for, like, 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Both. That doesn't sound appetizing.
Well, I mean, like, when they brought it to me, it kind of looked like it had been sitting out for a little bit. Okay. But you know what? Like, here's the thing. It was like, I did not dislike it. I liked it. But it wasn't like, oh, well, here we go. This is it. Like, I didn't want to, like, get up and, like, do it, like, a musical number about it.
Right.
Which, like, I've had that experience before at Disney where I've, like, wanted to get up and, like, do a whole, like musical number about the food that I just had.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. No, there was no music in my head for this one. Again, I did not dislike it. It's just, like, it wasn't like, oh, this is it. Every single time I come here now, this is what I'm getting. I feel like I should have tried the steak. They were trying to hype the steak to me. There's, like, steak that comes in, like, a salad kind of thing.
And
I feel like I should have done it.
Well, maybe next time you go back.
Next time I go back, I will do that. I mean, I do want to try.
Also, you know, let me just say, new restaurant, I know it's Disney, but still, new restaurant, usually they got to get the kinks out.
Absolutely. And, like my waitress, Skipper, she was wonderful, and I really liked her. I think I might have been one of her first tables because, like, you could tell that she's not used to, like, doing the whole spiel and doing the jokes. So it was,
right.
I could tell that she was really, like, trying to remember them and stuff. But she hit them all. She hit them all, okay. And I laughed, and, you know, like, it was really, really good.
Now, it's got to be hard if you're there by yourself,
mm-hmm.
and she's got this routine she does. I mean, you're
obligated to laugh at that point.
Yeah. I mean, for real.
Yeah.
You can't go in there and just be like, you know.
I gave a lot of, like, ha-ha, or like, oh, very good. Like, bravo, sir. Like that kind of thing.
Okay.
it's funny because, like, you know, like, they'll do things that, like, I think kids would enjoy, but they have to do it for everyone. Where they're
right.
Like, she's like, oh, well, did you go on our Jungle Cruise today? And I hadn't, but I was like, yeah. And she goes, oh, good, they told me you were coming. And I feel like a child would have been like, they did? But, like, me, I was just like, ha-ha. Very good.
Like, all right, well, I'm not going to add it to my roster.
I mean, no, I feel like theming, it is a
right.
100% 10 out of 10. They knocked it out of the park. The theming, the way it looks, they have like art on the walls that's like inspired by the attraction. Like there's like a in the Society of Explorers and Adventurers room, there is a portrait, I believe, of Dr. Albert Falls standing in front of the temple that you go into in the Jungle Cruise, like exploring it, like discovering it. And they told me there's like a big sign in the mess hall. It's like commemorating the inaugural Jungle Cruise, October 1st, 1931. I'm like, why 31? And then the waitress actually explained to me the backstory. She was just like, you know, Alberta Falls, the granddaughter of Dr. Albert Falls, inherited the Jungle Cruise. I'm blanking on the name of the company now. The fictional company that owns the Jungle Cruise.
Right.
And the mess hall was where all the skippers come to eat between their... like between their cruises, but there were secret rooms for the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, and one specifically for like the Schweitzer family. But when Dr. Albert Falls passed away, she inherits the business. She opens up all the secret rooms to everyone and turns it into a restaurant, which I like. You know what? Kudos to them not only for having the backstory, but for going out of your way to explain it to me.
Now, as she's explaining this to you, are you just, like, laughing hysterically because you don't know where to laugh and where not to laugh?
No, I'm pretty sure I know what a joke is and what's not.
Okay.
listen, my ha-ha, they were all pretty well placed. So, yeah, really, really good time. I'm not trying to, like, I know that, like, some of the things I said were negative, but, again, it's a new restaurant. They have to, like, I loved Morimoto Asia. But Anne from Extra Magic Hour was telling me that, like, her Morimoto Asia experience on, like, opening day was so disastrous that without them even complaining, the manager walked over and comped their meal.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always kinks to be worked out.
Right.
But I highly recommend this to anybody, and I highly recommend it to you as well. I know that you're kind of already set in what you're doing. But if you get a chance to at least check it out, like pop your head in, maybe look around a little bit. Because like there were tons of people that were just like, hey, I don't want to like eat. I just want to walk in and see what it is.
I get that. I mean, I would like to hear your second review. And then,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to go back in the next week or so and try the steak.
Oh, yeah.
Because I kept seeing them bring like the steak salad out and it looked really good. And I was kicking myself that like I didn't order it.
Right. Well, go back. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Okay, so ready to move on?
Yep.
All right, we've got some Animal Kingdom news, some DAC news. Cali River Rapids is closing for a refurbishment on January 5th, and it will reopen to guests on February 12th.
Are you kidding me? I swear to you, I actually considered doing this time.
In January, really?
Well, I'm hoping the weather's warm, you know? And like,
well, I will tell you, it has been unseasonably warm here for December already.
It's so. Unseasonably warm here. I'm in shorts and t-shirt outside.
Yeah. Really? It's that warm there?
Mm-hmm.
How warm is it?
It was 68 yesterday.
Huh, that's crazy. It's in that's like the it's been in like the mid-80s. Like I went over to the pool the other day. But yeah, like I would assume in January it will be decent weather, but yeah, you're out of luck when it comes to Cali River Rapids though.
But that's the worst thing.
But you're going to Universal, so
it's true.
Popeye
you're right.
and Bluto.
Hmm.
I think I might need to like we were talking about like when we want to get together. I think Universal Day might have to be one of them because I for some reason I mean I love going to Disney with people. I love going to Universal with other people.
You are like a new Universal fan.
No, I'm just so endlessly intrigued by it. Like, you know how they're refurbing the Hulk coaster?
Right.
It's gone. Peter Mandel, it's gone.
What do you mean it's gone?
It's gone. It is not there anymore.
Where is it?
It's just not there. Like, the last time I was there, I literally turned a corner and I was like, there was a roller coaster. Like, I was with my brother and I'm like, there was a roller coaster here like 3 weeks ago. Where is it? Like, it is just gone. Like, the posts are gone. The track is gone. Everything is just gone.
Like, the entire structure.
The entirety of this roller coaster is gone.
Man, I don't understand that.
There are construction walls up.
Right.
But it's gone.
That's pretty cool, though. That's some commitment.
Yeah, like, they got that down fast. I don't really like that it's, like, a collapsible roller coaster.
Well, I won't go on, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome if it goes back up and they're like, we just repainted it.
We skimmed it.
They had to take the whole thing apart.
Yep. How else were we going to get the paint up there? What, were we going to climb a ladder? I don't think so. This is much more efficient and cost effective. Just take the whole thing down and put it back together. There's a Canadian worker there, apparently.
Oh, I assume they only employed Canadians after your impression.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I do. Okay, and that is the news this week.
All right, pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, folks, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we are going to be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse.
Hi there. This is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Folks, we here at WDPN love Disney, and that should come as no surprise to anyone. But we never lose sight of the fact that the entire Disney universe sprung forth from the mind of one man. Walter Elias Disney and his tireless quest to create magic has inspired all of us for decades upon decades. But there's so much we can learn from a man like Walt Disney, who so embodies the ideas of chasing your dreams and daring to believe. And perhaps Walt's greatest accomplishment and journey was the creation of his ultimate dream, Disneyland. But how can you apply the shining examples this man set on his way to creating a landmark that has stood for six decades to your own life? You can find out in The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, a new book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes. Jeff examines the incredible journey Walt undertook to create Disneyland and the lessons he garnered from years of hard work and American ingenuity. He encapsulates it perfectly and then shows you how to apply this to your own daily life. Furthermore, he examines what the park means to the Disney universe, the United States, and the entire world, showcasing what can happen when a dream truly becomes immortal and outlives the man who created it. What better way to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Disneyland than by reliving the adventurous, real-life endeavor of a man who dared to dream the impossible and brought so much joy into our lives as a result, and then apply his journey to your own life in the end? To pick up your autographed copy of The Wisdom of Walt, visit thewisdomofwalt.com or download the ebook copy from the Amazon Kindle store and start applying the wisdom of Walt to your life today.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the combined forces of Walt Disney World and Disney Parks in general and George Lucas and Lucasfilm came together to form an unforgettable theme park experience. That experience is something we all know and love as Star Tours. Star Tours was the first ever attraction of its kind, a motion simulator designed to immerse you into a movie universe unlike any other, the most iconic universe in all of cinema, the Star Wars universe. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely the most iconic. Whether it's Star Tours or Star Tours, the adventures continue. It is a classic part of everyone's Disney trip. And that is why this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, and for e-ticket this week stands for Endor, our Endor ticket. Okay. Pete and I are
going... I saw you looking at me for approval, like Pete, Endor.
Pete and I are going Disney in depth on Star Tours. All right, so you ready to do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Most certainly. I mean, I can make an argument that this is my favorite attraction.
At Hollywood Studios?
I mean, hands down at Hollywood Studios, but like all in all, like this might be like from start to finish, this might be my favorite Disney attraction. I mean, you know, Haunted Mansion.
I get that. I mean, Haunted Mansion is a definite draw.
Yeah, Haunted Mansion is iconic for me, but like, be still my Star Wars heart. Like, this is just the ultimate experience for me.
Okay.
And when they created The Adventures Continue, it made it so much more for me. Because now you add in the whole sense that, like, it's never the same twice.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, what a great add-on.
Yeah, but we'll get there. I wanted to start off, because, you know, Disney in depth. We like to take our time. We like to go in depth. We like to talk about the inception of an attraction, all the changes it's undergone throughout the years, and everything that happens in between. So you ready to hear about the inception of Star Tours?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
I learned some really cool stuff. Like talking about this, like, I'm not even gonna lie, like, there were some things where I was like, when I was doing my research, where I was like, really? That's awesome. So we're gonna talk about it. So Star Tours as a concept was first being talked about in the late 70s, It was originally intended to be an attraction based on the 1979 Disney live-action film called The Black Hole.
Big fan of The Black Hole, actually.
You've never seen The Black Hole, have you?
No, as a child, I loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's a little scary at parts if you're a little kid. I mean, I was 2 when that came out, so I probably saw it when it was on TV,
right,
which is a couple years later. But, man, you know what?
It's a good movie because I'd never heard of it before.
I'm going to say something that's going to freak you out because, you know, I own a life-size R2-D2. Mm-hmm. But those robots in there, I'm so attached to them because, again, they were just, you know, definite part of my childhood.
In The Black Hole?
Listen, I can't recommend it. I can't recommend The Black Hole to people. I've watched recently. I own it on DVD. I'm not going to tell you it's good. The Peter Ellenshaw, like, paintings, mm-hmm. you know, the matte paintings they use and the designs, it's really cool. I mean, old Bob is, like, a sympathetic character. That's a robot. But, I mean, yeah, I won't recommend it to anybody.
Okay. You won't recommend it, but you love it. That makes sense.
I love it. I can't.
It's a guilty pleasure, right?
Yeah, but a guilty pleasure makes it seem like I would really like to watch it again. I probably won't watch it for 10 years.
Okay.
But. Right.
That makes sense.
You know.
This actually, in the initial inception, it would have allowed guests to actually be able to choose the route that they would take.
Okay.
Which I don't know how they would have done that, but it was definitely it was meant as like a choose your own adventure kind of flight simulator. This was shelved due to the super high cost of the attraction, which think about the time period. This was like early 80s.
Right.
$50 million it would have been to make this attraction.
Yeah, that's a little expensive.
That, coupled with the fact that nobody really liked The Black Hole.
Yeah, I don't think it did awesome.
Yeah, no, it didn't. That was another reason why they were like, okay, this. So, fast forward a couple years to when the partnership between Disney and George Lucas starts to form. When Michael Jackson brings George in to direct Captain EO. So, now, you know, Disney bigwigs and George are kind of sitting down, and he's just like, well, you know, there's always something we could probably do together, you know. It's by George Lucas.
Right. That wasn't bad.
You like that? So Disney was like, well, you know, we could talk about maybe some of your projects, George. And he was like, oh, you know, I've always dreamed about doing an American Graffiti attraction in which, you know, there'll be 50s cars and maybe an animatronic Harrison Ford. And they're like, we're with you on the Harrison Ford thing, but maybe we go in another direction. I'm kidding. That conversation never took place. Obviously, the conversation of, well, you know, we had this concept. We have some plans drawn up for this attraction based on The Black Hole. Maybe we can make it work with Star Wars. So George was all for it. And the Imagineers immediately went out and they purchased military-grade flight simulators at the low, low cost of $500,000 a piece in the mid-80s.
Okay.
They designed the ride structure around these flight simulators. And then George Lucas' company, Industrial Light and Magic, you may know them from every movie ever. Is it just me or is the ILM logo on everything?
Everything. They have their hand in everything.
Yeah. And now Disney owns it, which means Disney has its hand in everything. They began working on the first-person film perspective. So that's the thing I love about it, is that like it was such a tag-team kind of project between Disney Imagineers and ILM. Like, maybe the two groups of people that I love the most in this world, the Imagineers and Industrial Light and Magic.
Right, right.
So, yeah, they were working on basically the POV, first-person perspective of the ship flying. When both of these were done, a programmer literally had to sit in the ride vehicle with a joystick and program the flight simulator along with the ride. Could you imagine being that guy?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds almost like when they were choosing the music for Rock and Roller Coaster and they had to ride it constantly.
Yeah.
with a laptop strapped to their legs to coordinate the music. I mean, how many times do you think that took?
A lot.
Yeah. Too many.
Yes. So once everything's in place, they're ready to open. It opens in Disneyland first. Open in Disneyland on January the 9th, 1987, with a final cost of $32 million.
Okay.
Okay. This was actually, $32 million is twice the cost that it took to build Disneyland 32 years earlier in 1955.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, 22 years earlier in 1955. So they open it up in this big event, and it is one of the, I would say this is probably one of the first cosplay events in history, like large-scale cosplay events in history, because cosplayers turned out by the truckloads to ride right. this dress as Star Wars characters. In celebration, Disneyland remained open, get ready for this, for 60 hours straight.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So people can come ride Star Tours. That's how big of an event this was. Could you imagine? Like, I hope they do that when Star Wars Land opens, because I'll stay there for 60 hours straight.
I mean, you won't, but I imagine that there are people who are like, I can't wait 5 hours to ride this, so I'm going to go at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, and I think it's smart. I would really, really hope that they would do something like this again, like when Star Wars Land opens up, or when, like, Toy Story Land, or not Avatar Land, but you know what I'm saying.
Really, no love for the Avatar Lands.
I mean, love for it, but I don't want Disney to be. I want Animal Kingdom open for 60 hours straight. I don't think they can do that. So they opened on January 9th at 10 a.m. and they closed on January 11th at 10 p.m.
Wow.
That's amazing. Like, I was so shocked to hear that. Like, they kept Disneyland open for 60 hours just so people can ride this ride.
That sounds awesome.
Yes. It opened in Walt Disney World on December 15th, 1989. So almost a full, almost 3 years later.
All right.
It's maybe like almost a month away from being 3 years.
I'm surprised it took that long.
Me too. It opened in Tokyo Disneyland on July 12th, 1989. So it actually opened in Tokyo Disneyland before Walt Disney World. Disneyland Paris on April 12th, 1992. So that's where it is. That's where the original Star Tours was all over the place.
Right.
So the opening. It opened up. And so now you'll remember, Pete, it was a flight to the forest moon of Endor.
Right.
So now the original queue. You get in there, 3PO and R2 are, fixing up your ship. Always amazing. Still there to this day, but I love it. Like, when I was a kid, walking into that queue for the first time and seeing C-3PO and R2-D2 right there was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I mean, this was our, like, number one queue, right?
It had to have been.
I mean, that queue is...
I'd wait an hour in that queue. Like, there's just so much to look at.
It is literally the one queue you don't mind too much waiting in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny to think that, you know, they've improved it now. But, I mean, then it was just so cool.
Do you remember your first experience going into that original Star Tours?
I gotta be honest with you, I don't.
You were a young lad. I think that would have been like a religious experience for you.
Yeah, you know, and I can remember doing it that first day that, you know, we were in Hollywood Studios ever. MGM Studios, if you will. I don't remember walking through the queue so much. I mean, maybe there wasn't really a long line, because I kind of remember, like, snapping some pictures, which I still have, but, like...
For me, the queue was everything. Like, when I was a kid, like, that queue was my takeaway from it. Like,
I totally get that.
3PO and R2 were standing right there.
I think my takeaway, unfortunately, was Tatooine Traders, which I probably spent way too much money on.
You know, there's a rumor, I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but that the 3PO and R2 in Disneyland are actual props from the movies, like actual costumes from the movies that were retooled to be animatronics. I don't know if I believe that or not.
I don't know if I believe that either.
Yeah. So the maintenance area was the next area you would go to, where the G2 droids would be fixing up other droids. Now it's the baggage claim and customs area.
Yeah, but now that is, I gotta be honest with you, seeing other droids, you know I'm a little bit of an astromech droid nerd, so seeing the other droids is what I really, really liked.
Oh, totally. I like seeing all those astromech droids on the left as you walk in, like they're all just kind of lined up.
Definitely.
Did I tell you about the one day where, when I was there, as I'm walking through that area, which is now, you know, baggage check and customs, you know, there's like that balcony like above it, like not balcony but like an upper level that like you never go onto.
Mm-hmm.
Vader and the stormtroopers were standing up there watching everyone go through. They must have been waiting to go on for the old Jedi Training Academy, because Vader is literally standing there with his hands on his hips while the stormtroopers are like standing right at the railing. They're just looking down at everybody.
Oh, that's awesome.
I gave them a thumbs up and thanked them for all that they do to protect us from the rebels.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was, that's so cool. Now I totally want to try to time it right before Trials of the Temple, so I could see if Vader and the Seven Sister would be up there.
I wonder if that's like a regular thing or not.
I don't know. It was literally the only time I ever saw it. Now the G2 droids that are in there, they kind of look like tiny versions of Johnny Five.
Yep.
Now here's an interesting thing. Both of those G2 droids are animatronic skeletons of animatronic geese that appeared in the America Sings attraction in Tomorrowland.
Okay, that's a pretty cool tidbit.
They were geese that just literally had the outer casings taken off, and this is just the bare bones animatronic that existed underneath them.
It is a robot.
That is so cool. Like, what a cool idea. Let's just take old animatronics and turn them into Star Wars droids. I love that.
I do too.
Okay, so now the pre-ride area. I'm glad that, like, for the safety instruction video and whatnot, they've kept it wherein you see, like, all the different, Star Wars characters and the Ewoks and stuff going in, like, sitting down and buckling their seatbelts and stuff like that.
Yeah, you had to. I mean, it's just so, you know, such a part of Star Tours.
Right, and actually, those people are all Imagineers and their families.
Which makes sense.
And I think that's so cool. Like, I love knowing that these are the people that worked on the attraction and they have, like, a little nod. Again, one of those things that Disney just kind of weaves into each attraction. So then when we got to meet your friend, my friend, Captain RX-24, Captain Rex, the real Captain Rex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, before he was a clone commando, folks, he was a little droid with not a lot of hours in the flight simulator. So it took you through the Star Tours hangar. He crashed into some comets. He got pulled in by a tractor beam on a Star Destroyer that, based on Star Wars canon, is an Imperial Remnant Star Destroyer, because the original Star Tours took place post Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Then once the X-Wings break you out of the tractor beam, you assault the Death Star 3. Which, according to old Expanded Universe canon, which has since been decanonized, I sound like a really big nerd right now, was actually a habitation sphere disguised to look like a Death Star to distract the New Republic.
Okay.
Like, according to the story that Lucasfilm eventually put out, that was not a Death Star. It was actually a dummy where, like, they wanted the Rebellion to think that they were building a new Death Star. Not the Rebellion, now they're with the New Republic. They're building a new Death Star to distract them from what they were doing.
That seems like a lot of work, but okay.
Yeah. Remember that thing that took us like 30 decoy. Years to build? Let's build another one, but have it not actually be that thing.
Right. We're really going to fool them this time.
Mm-hmm. So eventually all good things must come to an end. The original Star Tours closed in 2010. So on August 14th, 2010, Walt Disney World hosted the last tour to Endor event. Did you ever hear about this?
Of course.
Oh, this sounded so cool. So this was for all attendees on the at Hollywood Studios from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. So they kept the park open super late. There were so many Star Wars things to do and see that night. George Lucas was there, first of all. Just want to thank everybody for coming to see this. I promise a whole new experience coming in the future with lots more Jar Jar and more computer-generated images.
It's almost like an unenthusiastic Dr. Evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. $1 million is chump change to me. I literally could tear that up right now and not blink an eye, because I had a good idea 40 years ago. He did.
He absolutely did.
Yeah. So George was there. They had character meet and greets. Jedi Training Academy stayed open extra late to 1 a.m. So those are some sleepy kids dueling Darth Vader that day.
Seriously, that wouldn't have been my kids.
Yeah, no. They had something called the Death Star Disco, and they had the Bespin Stage Dance Party with DJ Lobot.
Okay.
They had a live showing of the fan film Raiders of the Lost Jedi Temple. I've never heard of this.
I was just going to ask if you watched that in research for this.
Also, a rare non-Star Wars weekend version of the Hyperspace Hoopla with Sig and Oopla.
Okay.
Or Sig and Oopla's Hyperspace Hoopla. I really like that they brought out all the bells and whistles for this. So now, did you ever watch the video of the shutdown ceremony?
I have.
Yeah, so they're going to flip the switch to shut the ride down officially. But before 3PO can throw the switch, Boba Fett blows up the power source for the ride with thermal detonator. That may pretty be the cool. coolest sentence I've ever spoken.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So then what comes next? The ride, even though this was the last tour to Endor, the attraction remained open until September 7th with the final flight to Endor just for D23 members officially closing the attraction. So Star Tours, The Adventures Continue. It was first announced by George Lucas in 2005 at Star Wars Celebration 3 that they were working on Star Tours Part 2. Do you remember when that announcement was made?
I do.
Yeah, I remember being really excited. Then it's not, no forward momentum is actually made on the project until 4 years later in 2009 when they start filming. Imagineers actually pitched Hoth to George as, because, you know, it takes place between episodes 3 and 4. So obviously right. you can't be like right in the middle of the Empire Strikes Back Hoth battle. So they pitched to George as we want it to be interactions with Wampas and Tauntauns.
And did he not like that?
No. I don't care about continuity at all. I just want to make money and have things look visually appealing. So yeah, George
that
just,
sounds about right.
George was just... Go ahead.
There is no continuity.
No. Basically, apparently George's reasoning was like, well, maybe before Empire there was another battle on Hoth between the Rebellion and the Empire.
I could buy that.
I mean, maybe that's why they went to Hoth, because they already had a base there from a long time ago.
I mean, if Lucas spoke it, then I believe it.
And it was literally the exact same thing with AT-AT walkers and snow speeders. It was actually history repeating itself. A dramatic reenactment, like when those old men in the South try to reenact the Civil War. I like how my George gets like progressively more robot-like as he goes on.
Right.
If only there was a way I could have added Jar Jar to it, I would have done it. So George is like, yeah, how about no Wampas and Tauntauns, and how about we actually do the real Hoth scene here? Nobody cares. The Kashyyyk sequence was suggested by Disney Imagineering legend John Lasseter. And as is no surprise, Industrial Light and Magic produced all of the CGI for Adventures Continue.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Star Tours closes in Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort in 2010 and reopens in May and June of 2011. Reopens with high-def video, Dolby 3D, and an improved flight simulator. As I said, it takes place between episodes 3 and 4. And before it came out, Ace was revealed as our new pilot. But we found out that Ace had very little to do with the actual attraction.
Which did bum me out a little bit.
I remember before it opened, where you were like, you showed me the action figure. You were right. Like, no, like, this is Ace. He's our new pilot. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, doing away with Rex was the hardest thing for me to get over.
I mean, he is up there for my park-specific care. But I do love that he's still there.
Me too. Nice nod.
It's a nice nod, and he does, in fact, talk. I know you said you had never heard him talk before.
No, I've heard him talk since.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I actually will typically stand there and wait until he says something.
Yeah, I have him on video talking now, yeah. So very nice.
I'm the king of letting people pass me in the queue line.
Oh, yeah.
For Star Tours, because I just want to hear what they're going to say next. So actually, you know, the one thing that everybody, I always hear people, talking about, like, or quoting is, thank you for flying Star Tours. Bye-bye.
Really?
Oh, everywhere. Remember that awesome Jingle Cruise I was telling you about?
Yeah.
From the other night? At the end, you know, when they're like, as we say to all extended family at the end of the holidays, get out. No, I'm kidding. Please get out. But then he closes and he's like, if you've enjoyed it, folks, this has been the world famous Jingle Cruise. My name is Skipper, whatever his name was. And he goes, and if you didn't like it, then thank you for flying Star Tours. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
It was hysterical. I almost laughed getting out of the boat. I almost fell in the water.
Almost.
She is actually voiced by Allison Janney, who was Peach in Finding Nemo. Also, she was in the West Wing, and she played Charlene Doofenshmirtz, the ex-wife of Dr. Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
It's currently on Moms, right?
Yeah.
I love Alice and Jenny. That's why the robot name is Ali Sam.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It officially opened in Walt Disney World on May 20th, 2011 at midnight. So they did a midnight opening for it. It had been in soft open from May the 14th. Couldn't quite get it open for May the 4th.
Wow. You know,
but you know what? In 2011, were people still making as big a deal about May the 4th as we do now?
Maybe it was just starting then.
Yeah. Because I feel like that was just like the last couple of years. Like, that's become like a big, huge deal.
Right.
So the backstory. So George actually provided a little bit of backstory. There was apparently when they opened it up, there was an opening crawl for it that has never been seen since.
Oh wow! I would like to see that.
Yeah, the opening crawl apparently said that Captain Antilles, who 3PO and R2 were entrusted to at the end of Episode 3, dispatched the droids to Star Tours to help them. I guess like the Alderaan like had a stake in it, and he gives 3PO and R2 over to Star Tours to allow them to, like, help them, you know, build up Star Tours. But because of the involvement of Antilles and the Organas, the Empire notes that potential rebel involvement. So that's why the Empire's eyes are fixed on Star Tours.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, I get that.
Yep. So in the ride is randomized, as we've talked about before. No two. How many times did they say you have to go through it to get them all, like 70 something?
Oh, I thought it was like 54 prior to the, you know,
yeah,
new.
I mean, even more now that they've just added two new aspects to it. So the beginning, you have two choices for the beginning. You either get stopped by Darth Vader or an Imperial probe droid. One of those is really cool and one of them is really not.
Wait, well, I'm curious. Which one do you think is not cool?
The probe droid.
Really? But Vader's there also. It's not like you're...
No, Vader's not there.
He's not in that at all?
Nope. When you get the probe droid, the only cool thing with the probe droid is the Falcon's there.
I also like that the probe droid puts the picture of the spy on the screen.
Yeah, but Vader... Oh, yeah, Vader does it on the side screen.
Yep.
Okay.
Much more noticeable on the full screen.
Agreed. I do like that. Yeah. I mean... If you don't get Vader and you don't get Geonosis, you get through Star Tours without seeing Darth Vader.
I mean, I can live with, you know.
I mean, you got through the original Star Tours without seeing him either, but.
Right.
So you then for the beginning, you have four choices now. It used to only be three. Hoth, where you go through the battle, which, you know, was the first battle of Hoth, apparently. Whereas Empire was the second.
Right.
Tatooine, where you do the pod race, because the one thing that everybody loved about the prequels most, more than just besides Jar Jar, which was the thing that everybody loved the absolute most, everyone loved the pod race, so we have to do more pod racing. As a matter of fact, there were 20 minutes of pod racing that I cut out of Episode 1.
I'd like to watch that.
Yeah. Kashyyyk, which is probably my favorite of the first one.
Okay.
Because, you know what, Kashyyyk is not so, like... I mean, actually, no, Hoth is pretty much my favorite, but Kashyyyk is less herky-jerky than the rest. It's a little bit more, like smooth. And I do like seeing the Wookiee jump onto the viewport.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And they just added in the planet Jakku, which is from Episode 7.
Oh, nice.
It's like the graveyard of the big Battle of Jakku, which was one of the final battles between the Rebellion and the Empire, apparently. From what I hear. Then you have the holo transmission, which will be either Admiral Akbar, Princess Leia, Yoda, or a character from Episode 7, which I am not going to...
Oh, nice.
I remember last time I tried to say it, and you were like, don't tell me.
Yeah, no, I don't want to know.
Okay, then yeah, I won't tell you. You know which one of these bothers me. Yoda.
No.
Yoda.
Why?
Because he's on Dagobah.
Okay.
He's not part of the rebellion. He's like, you're carrying someone you are vital to our cause. I'm like, you're not in the rebellion.
Yeah, but it's Yoda. He knows everything.
Yeah, he's first of all, where's he even getting access to a holoprojector on Dagobah?
You don't think he could bring one? I mean, he's hooked up completely, like,
he lives
with
in a
everything.
Mud hut. He lives in a mud hut, and he makes, like, mud stew.
So you don't think he has Wi-Fi on Dagobah?
No, not at all. I think he has to do his business in a little hole in the ground. I think he is living as low tech as possible.
He is low tech, but when he needs like some, you know, to get down with the information, he breaks out the holoprojector.
So you're telling me that Yoda is risking his own detection to send a interstellar transmission from Dagobah to a random Star Tours thing, to a random Star Tours ship that has one rebel spy to a rebellion that he has nothing to do with.
That's how important that spy is.
I don't think you're just saying that because it was you once.
It was me once, and both my kids once. But yes. We were that important, Kevin, and don't tell me I wasn't.
So important that Yoda would risk the entire future. Because if Yoda's not there, Luke doesn't get trained, and he knows this.
Right. Well, it wasn't Yoda that really called about me. He didn't care about me. It was Emmer Akbar, but...
Oh, see, now, that is the ultimate. When you get Akbar, I'm just like, very good. Very good.
Yeah. Akbar's the one.
I mean, listen, I like getting Leia, too, but because it makes sense. The character from Episode 7 also makes no sense, but I digress. Actually, none of the Episode 7 stuff makes sense with the continuity of it being between 3 and 4.
Well, there's no continuity.
Don't look at me. I'm not involved anymore. But if I was, I would say that there's no continuity. Thank you, George. We always appreciate having you on the show.
Absolutely. It's an honor.
Do you want to see my treatment for Episode 7? It has lots of Jar Jar in it. No, thank you, George. We're good. Much like Disney, we will pass on it. Thank you. You're not saying anything about that?
You know I love George Lucas.
I know you do. You're like the one holdout left.
I can't help it. He made my childhood awesome.
So then at the end of it, you get either Coruscant, Naboo, or the ultimate, Geonosis. Let me tell you something. I do not like Naboo.
Okay, now wait a minute. But Naboo ends with some of the greatest 3D effects that they've ever pulled off.
Oh, when the ship breaks through the viewport? I do
it's
like
fantastic.
That.
I mean, I've literally taken the glasses off the second that it happens to look at it, and it still looks awesome.
It's still 3D. Like, how are you doing this?
I'm dead serious. You should do it. It's crazy how 3D that is.
But, I mean, like, I feel like Naboo was done with the intent of making people angry because he puts Gungans in it.
Stop. They're trying to, get all facets of Star Wars in there. Ugh.
Coruscant, I don't like. I've detailed this on the show before because it feels like I feel like it's simulating what a plane crash feels like, and that's something that I don't need to know.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's not my favorite either.
Coruscant is also very herky jerky, topsy turny. Like I don't like it. It feels very.
I agree.
Like,
I don't really like it either.
But Geonosis is the ultimate because you're getting Boba Fett, you're getting a Death Star, and you're getting Vader.
Yeah, that thing's just the best.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I told you when we went to Disneyland, we got Hoth and we got Boba Fett. And I was like, listen, that's the last time we're riding this on this trip.
It doesn't get much better than that. Cut,
print,
we're out
of here. And last. I don't need to do any more of this. We kind of got an awesome one. Let's move on.
Yeah, agreed. And so that's all my info on Star Tours. Do you have any final thoughts about that before we check in with our friends around the world?
Let me just say that, and again, I know you're going to be like, oh, you and the action figures, but one of my favorite things about Star Tours ever is that they, at some point, realized during the original Star Tours that people like me would absolutely love to have little action figures of all the droids, and they went and made every single droid that's in the queue line.
Do you have a Captain Rex somewhere?
Oh, my God. I have multiple Captain Rexes somewhere because I love him so much. I would get little ones. I always had one on my desk forever. So, yeah, love Captain Rex.
Love him. Love him to death. All right, so I asked our friends around the world. I said, for tonight's show, which do you prefer? I didn't want to just be like, what's your favorite thing about Star Tours? I wanted to ask, like, an actual question. So I said, which do you prefer, Star Tours or Star Tours The Adventures Continue, and why? All right?
Okay.
So Sam Murphy says the new one. Better for re-rides, the Rebel Spy is a nice interactive touch, and it plus the graphics are improved. Tim Elbing from thecookandwookie.com says, Star Tours, The Adventures Continues. I like the improved video, added scenes, the randomness, and I cannot wait to see the new scenes from The Force Awakens. Kay Pern says, very excited about seeing The Adventures Continues. We ride multiple times in a trip, and a new video is always a fun time. Jeff Griffith says, I prefer The Adventures Continue due to the tons of variety it offers. However, I am so glad that I was able to experience the original lots of times too, so it's burned into my brain. Love the reference to it in season one of Rebels. Yeah, there was a nice Captain Rex was in season one of Rebels, which was nice.
I remember.
You told me about it, and I was like, what?
It was great.
Paul Tawernicki says the new version. Disney kept the ride, but made it fresh with different combinations. Scott Varney says, definitely the adventures continue. I love the rewritability, especially in light of the new films being released. The Imagineers wanted to shut the ride down for any period of time to update it. Like others said, the Rebel Spy is a great touch that adds a personalized touch to the ride. Plenty of nods to the original ride in the queue to keep the nostalgics happy. Susie Scott says, I love the randomness of the new version the best, but I really miss Captain Rex. Adam Rose, our friend from a couple episodes ago, from the UK, says, I like the adventures continues, but feel bad for those who didn't get to experience the original with Captain Rex. I understand why they can't do this, but I think it would be cool if you could choose which planets you visit, but then not knowing is half the fun. So universally, the adventures continues wins this argument.
You know what's funny is when you said what the question was, I wanted to be like, wait a minute, is there like mixed reviews on this? Because it's
I was curious. I mean, listen, The Adventures Continues is my favorite too, but I mean, I can see people being like you know, people that enjoy the original trilogy and hate the prequels. I could see them being like, oh, CGI, George Lucas,
right.
But I'm not one of those people because I really enjoy The Adventures Continue.
Well, I agree with you.
The first time I wrote it, it was just such like. Because here's the thing. It was familiar, yet new. You know?
Yeah, of course.
And I liked it as much as I hated that Star Trek trailer that came out today.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Oh, it is so not Star Trek. It's not even funny.
I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be before the Star Wars movie, right?
It will be. Yeah, I'm sure.
Right.
But it's just like, it just looks so, I mean, it's kind of Star Trek-y because like they're on like another planet. And like, this looks like they spend the entirety on that planet, but yeah, no. Did you see, real quick, because this used to be a Disney property, did you see that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer?
No.
You did not see the trailer with Bebop and Rocksteady?
No, listen, Kevin, I've been so busy, I haven't seen really anything.
Okay.
Plus, I think I'm now officially media dark, so.
For Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I've only seen the trailers. I'm not seeing. I have purposely not looked at any clips that they've released. I'm not looking at any TV spots they're releasing. I don't want to know. I've never gone into a movie this like void of spoilers. Like every Avengers movie, I watch everything they put out for it. Batman vs Superman, I'll watch everything they put out for it. For some reason, this episode 7, I am staying media dark because I need to see what happens.
Of course.
So, what time are you going to see it?
We're doing 10:30, which I know is late, but the store's open.
Ethan,
so.
Ethan's got to be going, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's going, and I know it's a school night, so you know, no judgments. But I can't not take him. But the store's open. I'm open till 8 that night, and I can't really close early the week before Christmas.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
So yeah,
I will be seeing it at midnight at Disney Springs. So if anyone's seeing it that night, drop me a line. I know. Some other hosts from WDPN, I'm not going to name who in case they don't want that information out there, will also be at Disney Springs that night seeing it on an earlier showing. So, yeah, if you guys are going to be around, let me know. And no spoilers. Because if I hear spoilers, I will literally turn to dust. So
I get that.
Yeah.
I will say that I have gone and pretty much read everything.
What? Why would you do that?
Okay, because I've been doing it for months now. There's so much crazy stuff out there, Kevin. It can't all be true.
Well, no, it can't. But, like, so after we see the movie, I want you to actually tell me, like, here's all the crazy stuff that people were saying.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
All right, so, folks, you know, make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have a very special Christmas episode for you about spending Christmas Day in Walt Disney World. So, all right, you ready to shove off for this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. That's going to do it for 2 Minutes in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We love taking a trip to a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away with you guys at all times. Please, folks, give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/2Minutes in the Mouse. We are on Twitter at 2Minutes in the Mouse, Instagram at WhiteDragonPN, and the White Dragon Podcast Network is also on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and on Twitter at WhiteDragonPN. Also Periscope at White Dragon Podcast Network. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@2MenInTheMouse.com. And if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it, tweet it out, talk it up, put it on your Facebook page, give us a rating and review in iTunes. Please, folks, every little bit helps us out tremendously. And it's only through you guys that we have made it this far. Thank you so much. 100 episodes on the horizon. And, folks, if you love Peter Mandel, Please check him out in his comic book store, Rogue Comics, in Cranford, New Jersey, located at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or visit roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. And if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney park throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. Dave will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost for you. You can always find him on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. And folks, if you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, please check out The Wisdom of Walt, the book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes, which details Walt Disney's quest to create Disneyland and how you can apply these lessons to your own daily life. All right, folks, that does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
Nope. Take us to hyperspace.
All right. Punch it, Chewie. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.